Man, you talk about a guy that's having a busy week. Grand Forks County Sheriff Andy Schneider is in the studio today. We'll be talking with him. One of our sponsors for today's show is the Spirit of America Bike and Car Show. It's the 2024 Red River Valley Motorcyclist Spirit of America Bike and Car Show, Saturday, April 13th and Sunday, April 14th at the Alaris Center. See a wide array of vintage automobiles and motorcycles. Tickets are only $10, with veterans and kids 12 and under free with a paying adult. There'll be live music, award ceremonies, a beer garden, and over $100,000 in multi-raffle ticket prizes, highlighted by a 2024 Harley-Davidson Road Glide Special, a Polaris Northstar Edition Ranger with trailer, and a 2024 golf cart. Net proceeds benefit Law Enforcement Memorial Park, Veterans Honor Flight of North Dakota, Minnesota, Journey Home Animal Rescue, Red River Valley Community Action, and many other local charities. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit the Alaris Center box office or go online to the website rrvmnd.org. All right. Hey, if you have any questions or comments for Sheriff Schneider, our number is 701-213-0863, 701-213-0863. Feel free to text or call if you want. Before we get going here, It's time for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. What do you call a silent sheriff? What do you call a silent sheriff? Quiet erp.
Oh, half your audience right now is going, I don't get it.
I'll be your, what was it, your huckleberry or whatever it is, but yeah. Quieter, but I like that one. Sheriff Schneider, how are you?
Hey, you know what, we're doing good. We're hanging in there and plugging right along, getting through this winter.
Not much of a winter. It seems like it's worse now than it was all winter.
It is, yeah. It's kind of interesting how the conditions have changed in March, when we thought we were going to start throwing seeds in the ground, and all of a sudden it froze back up on us. So.
It kind of puts a damper on the coyote hunting with lack of snow, but did you and the boys get to go out a few times? I did see you were on your way to a hockey tournament.
Yeah.
Boys are in shorts, one of the biggest yotes I've seen in a few years, and you guys got them.
Yeah, it was, you know, the Boy Scout motto. I never was one, but we're always prepared when we're traveling to a hockey game. So we had the 223 in the truck and got lucky, saw this coyote, and shocking enough, he took a wrong turn.
Yeah, did you get to weigh him?
You know what? I didn't, but I've shot two coyotes that have been a significant size, and this was easily the biggest coyote I've ever shot.
Wow. In Minnesota, 2 years in a row, deer hunting, sitting at a deer stand, I shot one that weighed 54 pounds.
Yeah.
And then the following year, I shot one that weighed 52 and a half pounds. And crazy. And when you talk to the DNR over there, they call those brush wolves for some reason. And I don't think there's really a thing called a brush wolf, but...
Right.
You know, you talk to about coyotes to people out west or Arizona or whatever, and they're just little dinky, little skinny little dogs. They're a little different than they are here.
Yeah, a big coyote in North Dakota is 40 pounds.
Yeah,
And this thing was a bigger coyote. It was, I would put it, I'm a pretty good guesstimate of weight. I still try to find my way around the gym once in a while.
Sure.
I'd say it was probably somewhere around 45.
Yeah, I was going to say that big thing was pushing probably 50 pounds. That's a nice dog, man.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So do you skin them and stretch them and do all that stuff? Are you teaching the boys that kind of stuff or not?
We were going to start it, but a single stall garage really doesn't provide much room for that.
Right.
So I do want to get them into that. So right now what we do is we just sell them on the core. And
sure.
And if it's a nice enough one like that one, we'll have it get tanned out.
Yeah, so. It'd be nice to have hanging in a man cave or the boys' room. How about that? 150 years of the sheriff's office.
Yeah, this year we're getting ready to put out a big announcement. We're trying to make it a big deal, I should say, for us. But we've been doing some research, and I have I'd say he's our local historian, the captain in our office. Has been doing a lot of research, looking into, history of the sheriff's office, the first sheriffs, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And we've honed it in, and it's amazing, honestly, how hard this stuff is to track down.
Oh gosh, yeah.
You look at the establishment of Grand Forks County, and there's like three different years that people distinguish the establishment of Grand Forks County. And I think, looking into it, there's not a lot of historical data. I I was out in Bismarck for hockey
mm-hmm.
this winter, and I dropped my kid off at the rink and went over to the museum.
Oh,
and started searching through documents and stuff. And I, and what I've been told is that a lot was lost during the flood.
Sure, sure.
So they're getting, you know, they're getting some information from people in our community, right? Or things that other people had had and retained, and super interesting. You know, just random, like get a picture on Snapchat from a buddy of an old book from a township directory, and has the picture of the sheriff in there from 1900 and whatever.
Wow.
Super cool stuff. But anyways, when we were looking, it was 1873, Grand Forks County set up government, and they appointed individuals as commissioners. Mm-hmm. They appointed a sheriff. But no official business was ever held. And what they said was there wasn't enough people here.
Yeah.
They couldn't, they never got together. They didn't have a meeting. Well, then in 1874, the territorial governor came in and he established Grand Forks County.
Okay.
And he appointed individuals to the county commission and the sheriff and constable. And the sheriff actually that was appointed was Nicholas Hoffman. He was appointed in 73 and 74 and again in 75.
Wow.
So there is a little discretion on if the county actually held business or not in 74. The first official documents that our county auditor has are from 1875.
Wow.
Of the first commission meeting. It's amazing. She sent me a picture, and you got to be really fluent in your cursive.
I bet. But how cool to look into this history.
Cool. Yeah.
Because I mean, let's face it, you know, kids look up to you, people look up to you, I look up to you, and for you to be able to actually know what the heck, you know, that is cool. I can say you, including you, the last three Grand Forks County sheriffs are all friends of mine. You know, God rest Dan's soul, but the people that don't know Sheriff, what is the difference between sheriffs and police?
Yes.
I've actually had people ask me that, and it's hard for me to hold back. But right. Anyway,
right. Yeah. No, there's a pretty distinct difference, right? So I think to explain it to the viewers, sheriffs are servants of the court. And when I say court, we're talking district court, right? Mm-hmm. So that holds us responsible for quite a few things
sure.
that we have to do. Security at the courthouse for, mm-hmm. for the judges and the proceedings. Civil papers, what does that mean? Well, if you want to evict somebody, or somebody owes you money and they're not paying, or you're yep. trying to get a car back, or you're getting a divorce, and you don't want to serve those papers, and they got to go in front of a judge, you mm-hmm. come give them to us.
Yep.
So we take care of civil papers. We do all of the transports, for the most part, of prisoners. So let's just say you screwed up, you got arrested in North Dakota,
mm-hmm.
and then you took off, didn't want to pay your ticket, didn't want to show up for court, and you get arrested in Minneapolis. We got to go get you.
Okay.
Sheriff's
okay.
office. Police department doesn't do that. Police department doesn't serve civil papers. Police department will arrest people on warrants. That's mm-hmm. also one of our duties
sure.
as well. So, and then we have jurisdiction throughout the entire county, including the Air Force Base.
Okay.
And the city of Grand Forks can only enforce laws in Grand Forks. We can enforce them in Grand Forks as well.
Okay. So you are basically also the police of the county, not including the Grand Forks city limits, even though there are things you do in Grand Forks. So put it this way. When you say, well, our job is to do this, that, and this, if I'm hauling ass down the highway out in the country going 100 miles an hour, I'm going to get pulled over if I see a sheriff.
Yeah, yeah. So what I gave you was our primary duties.
Yeah,
a big okay. part of our duties are obviously responding to calls for service mm-hmm. out in the county. Enforcing traffic laws is a big one as well. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Now, the big news, I want to talk about the Sacred Heart Fish Fry.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the big news.
Yeah.
Okay, we got some numbers now. This, according to you, Dobby beat you. He had 1,382. Now, I'll finish this. You were 1,277 total. Yeah. Both of you guys didn't win.
Yeah, it was, well, he did win.
Oh, yeah, he won it over.
He had the high number this year.
Okay, yeah. okay. But when it comes to the drive-through,
yep.
You had 814 come through the drive-through.
I did.
Dobby had 811, so
yeah.
you kind of beat him there.
Well, you know what that means? More people wanted to see me than him.
Exactly.
Right? So,
but how cool is that to be involved with that? And you know, again, going back to the people look up to you. You guys are considered local celebrities. I know that's probably not what you signed up for to be a local, you know, but that is part of the job description. It's almost like going down to the pits in the River City Speedway after a race, how the kids come up and how they talk to the race car drivers. I would imagine you get a lot of the same thing.
Yeah, I do. Some people can be gun shy to come and talk to me.
Yep.
But you know, some people walk by and say, "Hey, Andy," or whatever, and I have no idea who they are.
Yep.
It happens almost every day if I leave the house.
Yeah, right? It's so, like me walking around. If I'm on location with a microphone, they either are running up to me or they're running away from me. Right, it's like there's no in between people there. You were on a hockey trip this last weekend, and crap kind of hit the fan. Things went downhill. We had an issue out in Larimore. I know there's probably not a lot you can say about it, but again, I think that proves how good your guys are. Yeah. I mean, you weren't there. You got guys that can take control, but how did that all go down? I mean, it was a terrible deal.
Yeah, you know, on that. You know, for me as a leader, one of the hardest things is not being there for your people when things are at their worst, right? And something that helps me get through that is knowing that what we've done over the last 5+ years to put our agency in the position it is with forming leaders, working with leaders that were there to form them into the leaders we wanted them to be, getting people the proper training. It sure is reassuring for me that even though I'm gone, I'm still on the phone, I'm still, you know, working through group chats, whatever, staying in touch, have a handle on what's going on. I'm not running the situation and I don't need to, but I know what's going on and it's working out the way that it should because the right people are running it.
Right. And you know, what gets me is how law enforcement can get a bad rap. We all get a bad rap because of bigger cities. Yeah. You know, you'll hear somebody like, well, geez, they didn't have to shoot the guy. He was just reaching. I tell you what, when you're in a situation like that, it's easy for you to talk about that crap. But here's the way I look at it. The guy never should have been in the situation in the first place.
Yeah.
If you're surrounded by law enforcement and they've got their guns drawn on you, don't make a move like you're going to do something because I'm going to be the first one to pull the trigger on you too. You should never have put yourself in that situation in the first place. But now you've got a sheriff that's got to be on leave and all of this stuff because of the protocol and it just doesn't affect that person who caused all the problems lives. It affects everybody.
Right. And you know, I think something that people don't often take into consideration. Our community, I believe, for the most part, is an exception.
Oh, I agree.
There's obviously plenty of people out there that hate cops, disagree with cops or whatever. But we're not robots, right? We wake up in the morning, we still have to put our pants on the same way that most people do, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, most of us all have families or friends that we want to go home to as well. So I don't know what a normal citizen would do, and I know we signed up for it, but you respond to a call where an individual was shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And killed. And law enforcement gets there, and they're trying to make contact with the individual, and now he starts shooting at law enforcement.
Yeah, shooting at your guys.
Right? What's our intel here?
Yeah.
Dude's got a gun, and he isn't afraid to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And now you come out of the house, and you quit listening to our commands, and you start reaching exactly where we told you not to reach.
Yep.
I'm going home tonight.
Yeah.
And that's what I expect my deputies to do,
And he's lucky
too.
He is, too. Well, he's not going home, but he's lucky he's still breathing.
Yeah, he's on this side of the dirt. And you know, and that's, you know, we obviously our goal is to make sure that the threat is neutralized.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And that was neutralized at that time.
I couldn't imagine being in that situation. And you've had it now a few times since you've been sheriff.
More than a few, unfortunately.
Yeah. But thank goodness we got guys like you and your department. Awesome work. Big medication take back. That they had was last week or whatever,
but a big one.
You guys, you did pretty well.
You know what? It had to be one of the biggest med takebacks we've ever done.
Wow!
We only did it for 2 hours. I worked with Save Kids, Karma Hansen, and the crew at All True, and just said, you know what? This first one, it's always cold. I don't know when it hasn't been cold.
Yeah.
We've done it in blizzards. We maybe had one that was normal, but let's just cut down the time frame, have it run a little closer to lunch, not at the start of the work day, and let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 hours, there was like over 60 cars, I think.
Wow.
And a, what was the number? 135 pounds of meds? It was out of control.
Yeah. I'm trying to see here. You guys had 44 pounds alone.
Yeah, we did.
So
yeah,
in between crazy. you and UND police and Grand Forks police.
Yeah.
And now when we talk about this medication take back, folks, we're not talking about Grand Forks being a bunch of drug addicts.
Right.
That's
right.
Not what this is all about. Karma Hansen's in our studio all the time. In fact, I think we got her on next week again. But this could be outdated meds. Yeah. Maybe there was a family member who's no longer with us, and it's just the old kind of stuff, things you don't want laying around. Yep. Let's face it, people now, you might have company, and if they say, can I borrow your use your restroom, they might be going through your medication cabinet or whatever. Right.
That's
kids,
a scary fact.
All of that stuff. Yeah.
You're right. And you know what? Honestly, you hit the nail on the head there. Most of the meds that we get, we don't directly ask people, are these yours or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
They just want to get rid of them.
We're
going to
destroy them properly. But a lot of them are from deceased relatives.
Yeah, yeah.
And some, I had some, not this take back, but the one I did last fall, where I had an individual whose family member passed away the day before.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, we're getting them out of here.
Yep, yep.
I've had people that have held on to meds from family members for 2 years, 3 years. Maybe it's just that symbol of something like of remembrance.
Or sure, but it's the last thing I have left. Yep.
And eventually they throw it away. Some of them are, hey, yeah, I had surgery. They gave me these meds. I did not like the way I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out of here.
Yeah.
I don't care. So, yeah, we get all sorts of them. But a lot of them are from elderly that don't use them or from past loved ones.
You know, that's funny because when we mentioned the elderly, when my mother-in-law passed, she was 92. And so the coroner guy was out, whatever, at my house. And he's like, okay, I need all her meds. So I brought him two bottles. One was for her eyes and one was for, she had slight high blood pressure.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I need them all. I'm like, dude, this is all of them. Right. She's pretty healthy, 92 years old.
That's good.
Grand Forks County Sheriff Andy Schneider is in the studio. I just want to take a little break here, but boy, we're going to talk about crime up and down, crashes. We're going to talk about finding some new digs for the Sheriff's Department and a whole lot more. But let's take a break. We're going to hear right now from Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli. If you've got an event coming up or maybe just want to treat your employees, check out Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli. This is no run-of-the-mill deli either. They're a company of passionate people who work together to create craveable food and memorable service that you will not forget. The breakfasts are incredible and served all day. Box lunches and dinners, vegetarian, vegan, and gluten-free. And even last-minute events, Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli uses only the freshest ingredients with chef-inspired, bold, adventurous flavors where everything is made to order. Contact them at SmilingMooseDeli.com or call 701-757-DELI or stop in at 623 South Washington with the details and let them do the rest, or they'll be sure to decide the perfect menu tailored to your needs. Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli. We don't just cater your event, we cater to you. Join Grand Forks Best Source Saturday, April 6th for the 6th annual Indoor Racer Showcase at Home of Economy in Grand Forks. You'll see sprint cars, late models, go-karts, and more. See your favorite drivers like Mark Dobmeier, Jack Croker, Brendan Mullen, the Peterson family, and others too. This free event is open to the public and all ages are welcome. Enjoy spiced pork burgers, brats, and baked beans served by the Grand Forks Central Wrestling Team for a free will offering. There'll be reps from Beers Black Dog Barbecue, Casa M Spice, Dakota Don's Artesian Waffles, Davis Seasoning, and Far Out Nuts. Mark it down in your calendar, Saturday, April 6th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the 6th annual Indoor Racer Showcase at Home of Economy in Grand Forks. All right. Don't forget, we will be at the Racer Showcase, Indoor Racer Showcase at Home of Economy. Grand Forks County Sheriff Andy Schneider in the studio. Going through some numbers, Sheriff, Grand Forks crashes dropped slightly in 2023. In fact, slightly, 198 fewer than last year. Now, when we look at some of the crime, I know there was an article today in our part-time newspaper saying that there has been more traffic stops, things like that, which they kind of put it in a good way, and I agree with them. That means we're finally fully you got a full staff. Everybody right. does. And that means more cars, more patrols on the road. But, okay, crime rate fell in 2023 by 12.5% in Grand Forks. That's robberies, assaults, car theft, larceny. They're all down. Rape, fraud, criminal mischief is up. DUIs are up 25%. That's, again, I think because there's more people on the road now, more of you guys. Speeding is up 58%. But one that really got me was seatbelts and child restraints. The citations are up 116%.
Yeah.
Don't these people, they must not know Karma Hansen, right. for one thing. But
so just briefly, so those statistics are actually from the city of Grand Forks, mm-hmm. Grand Forks Police Department.
Which would be different than the yep. county.
And but ours, for the most part, do fall in line with what the city's putting out. So just briefly on the stats, you know, a lot of things with statistics, depending on what it is, when they're traffic related, and this is my opinion from what I've seen over time, traffic related, drug related, speeding, DUIs, seatbelts is an exception. Mm-hmm. But that depends on, you're right, number one, are you full staff? Number two, do you have an incident like we do right now where now we have dedicated security in the hospital for we don't know how long for
right,
an individual.
Right. Yeah.
And individuals on leave, right, with surgeries or injuries or whatever. But the seatbelt, if you recall, the legislature voted to make seatbelts primary enforcement.
Yeah, they, you could get pulled session. Over now for not having a seatbelt.
Same as Minnesota.
Yep.
So now in North Dakota, you can be stopped and cited just for not wearing your seatbelt. And the state, obviously, is throwing funding at that for enforcement campaigns. Mm-hmm. Well, these enforcement campaigns, what we had to do before, so we had to find a reason to stop a car
right.
outside of wearing their seatbelt, and then we could give them a seatbelt citation.
You could throw that in there, yep.
So it was a little tougher. Well, now, these enforcement periods, it's easy,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you're not wearing a seatbelt. Our job out here is to enforce that and to obviously bring knowledge to the public. So see them, stop them, cite them.
Yeah.
It's that easy. That's why those numbers increased quite a bit.
You know, I still have friends, old school, that just don't like seatbelts. For one thing, they've never been in a race car or been in a bad wreck right. like I have. Another thing, and I don't know if I've told you this story or not, Sheriff, I had a younger brother was killed when he was 20 years old back in like 1990. He endowed his pickup, got thrown out because he didn't have a seatbelt on, didn't have a broken bone in his body. Not a single broken bone, but he got knocked out. He banged mm-hmm. his head, but he got knocked out face down in the bottom of a ditch that had 4 inches of water in it, and he drowned in 4 inches of water. If he would have had a seatbelt on, who knows, he might have still been with us today.
Right.
It's just so easy, and especially you see people driving around if they've got kids in the car.
Yeah.
Set an example.
Yeah.
You know, that you hear these people, and again, I use this euphemism or whatever all the time, euphemism. You know, they say they don't make kids like they used to. Well, it all starts at home.
Right.
And you need to be a good example. Put your dang seatbelt on. It's not yeah. that big of a deal, you know?
Yeah. You know, a lot of times it does take a firsthand experience. My firsthand experience, well, I was a teenager, and I don't know why it didn't sink in. Probably I was too young. But mm-hmm. the one that really hit home was I was a deputy, but I wasn't working. And I know I've shared the story before, but it was a rollover out by my parents' house, and my brother and I walked across the ditch, found the guy dead. Well, I buckled up ever since that day.
Yeah.
You know what really, you know, as the head law enforcement officer in the county, nothing frustrates me more than when people die on our roadways.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like that's a personal responsibility of me to keep people safe when they're traveling in our county,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the conditions are. If it's winter or if it's sunny and 70, we want people to be safe traveling through our county and get to their destinations. And when you have tragedies that could be prevented in our county, we had two fatalities within a week of people that were acquaintances or known to me or good friends of mine.
Yeah.
And it just really frustrates me.
Yeah. And, you know, they could be called an accident, but a lot of these, and let's face it, are preventable.
Yeah.
I mean, you just there's a reason your head a little bit.
The cars are designed for you to stay in them.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Oh, that's a great answer. Also in the news lately, Sheriff Schneider, you guys are probably going to be looking for some new digs here. The yeah. Sheriff's Department. Explain where the Sheriff's Department is. Where are you located now? And
right.
what's going to be the issue here coming up?
Yeah. So just a brief synopsis, since I know everybody watches the county commission meetings every chance they can.
Oh, sure. Okay? Yep.
So in 2019, I think I was in office for about 3.5 hours. And I'm exaggerating, maybe 3 weeks. And I got pulled into a meeting with some other county officials, and we met with the city at the time, Mayor Brown, and his people, mm-hmm. and the police department. And they said, "We need your space." And I said, "When?" And they said, "Last week."
Oh boy.
And they didn't say last week, but they would have liked to have it already.
Yep,
right.
Yep.
I said, "Well, we already need more space. Like, we don't have anywhere to go." So during that meeting, the consensus was given, hey, 5 to 7 years, we should have something figured out, right?
Okay.
Not making excuses for anybody here, but then something happened in 2020 that shut down some governments for some time frame.
Yeah,
right?
Yep.
And so things got delayed a little bit, and the timer kept ticking. Things got kicked down the road, I think, a little bit as far as looking for a new facility. The planning kind of ceased, and now last year, it was probably last January or February, I suppose, we had a combined meeting again with some city officials and said, hey, you know, we didn't know your direction because we still need that space, mm-hmm. so let's figure some things out. And they said, let's revisit this in a year, come with your ideas, whatnot. Well, I've had several meetings with different people, and I'm not the only one, right? Like,
yeah.
My job is to protect people, keep sure. them safe, serve them, run the sheriff's office. Not to build buildings.
Right. It's just one of the bonuses that come with the job, right?
But I'll help, right? I'm willing
sure,
to help.
Sure.
And we've ran some numbers by people, and I don't know if you've checked lately, but I don't know if anything's got cheaper.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So that's been quite a challenge. And now the county has been notified by the city of Grand Forks, hey, we need that space. So as you referenced, where are we? Well, the police department is located downtown Grand Forks mm-hmm. on 5th Street.
Yep.
And the sheriff's office is actually in the second floor. Not the entire second floor, okay. but a good portion of the second floor. And the space that we currently occupy is the old public health space.
Yeah.
So when the county office building got built, public health went to the county office building. The sheriff's office moved into a portion of public health above the police department. There's actually the bathroom in our office in the secured area has a pass-through little cutout right into our coffee room if we need a sample. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
You'd be in the bathroom, knock on there, hey, can you give me some coffee?
right. It could be an option. But we're looking at a time frame now to get out, and everything's on the table. The city's The PD's growing, right?
Yeah.
We've seen their budget meetings. We've seen what they've done the last few years. They added, I want to say, like 8 personnel.
Mm-hmm.
They got approved for last year.
City keeps growing. We have to keep growing. Yep. Yeah.
They keep adding bodies, and they need places to put them.
Now, would the county then, okay, say we're going to build a new building for the Grand Forks County Sheriff's Department. Is the county responsible for all that money? Are there grants available or anything like that? I thought I read somewhere the county could budget $3 million for a new building, but is all of this have to come out of the county?
So to my knowledge, yes. There might be some opportunities for grant funding.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know of many grants that are established for building.
Sure.
And if anybody out there listening does, please let the county know.
Yeah.
You can send an email to Tom Ford. You can get a hold of me. You can shoot something to the county commission. But that would be great information to have if there is other alternative funding sources. But right now, the county's source of income is property taxes.
Okay, sure.
There's no sales taxes, as most people are aware. They did put it on the ballot last year to vote on a home rule charter
to make
the county home rule.
Yep.
And they also put on there for a half cent sales tax.
Sure, part of it passed.
Home rule charter passed. Mm-hmm. The sales tax failed. So they were looking at that for additional funding for many projects that they're working on.
I do know a good grant writer. I'll find out more. But is there any money left after the jail expansion and, you know, the regional youth assessment center and all that? I know that's a lot, and there's been talk. I believe Commissioner Rusted said, well, why can't we throw the sheriff's department out with that? Well, I'm guessing it's probably a little too late for that now. But are those even a viable option?
Right. So did the jail eat up all the money? I believe the county bonded for that.
Sure.
Right?
Okay.
There was an increase on your mill levies, mm-hmm. which increased your taxes. Mine went up, but
yeah.
But is there any money out there? Well, fortunately, for me, that's not my job to figure out.
Sure.
I think, you know, any of the commissioners would probably be a better person to run that by. I sit in my budget meeting, and obviously I go through the county budget mm-hmm. process with them. And, you know, I'm sure much like your place right here, where does most of your money typically go to? Personnel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we want to start cutting budgets. Like, you know, I have heard some candidates say that we're not going to increase taxes and we'll look at cutting things. Well, that's good. I mean, you want to cut a certain program out of the sheriff's office. You might save $5,000, $20,000.
Yeah.
You want to save real money. You got to, realistically, you're cutting personnel or benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess that's definitely going to take services back.
Sure.
And I don't know if that's the direction we need to go, but yeah, they need to start establishing some sort of funding to set aside. The $3 million number, I don't know where that came from. I believe you said that that's what they said they had available.
Yeah, it could be available.
I don't know what $3 million is building.
Yeah, right, right. So, have you thought about it, Sheriff, like envisioned, this is what we need, this is what I'd like, this is what I'd like to pull up to every morning in the parking lot,
yeah.
and this is what I want my staff and our people to have? Because the way it sounds now, where you're at, it's got to be pretty outdated and old, and,
right.
and things are always, you know, technology, all of that stuff.
It wasn't designed to be a sheriff's office,
no.
right? And, you know, there's some plenty of people out in the public that say they know exactly what we need,
yeah.
right?
Oh, sure,
they everybody shouldn't
knows.
Even be up there. They only need a couple desks
yeah,
and a couple
yeah.
places for people to sit. I've offered many times for people to come take a look.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, I'm not into aesthetically pleasing things.
No.
I just want them to function.
Fully,
and,
yes.
And right now, the biggest concern that I have that I still don't like about our lot and our location is law enforcement's using the same entrance as the public.
Yeah.
Are we better than them? No. But there's an all-out attack on law enforcement across the nation.
Yes.
The way that there is no restrictions on our southern border right now and it's free reign, you know, we're bringing people in and not checking anything. And
mm-hmm.
and what do they got to do? They got to attack the people that are going to try to hold them accountable.
Absolutely.
A secure parking would be great.
Yeah.
And how about
right.
a secure entrance?
Sure.
Like I've told a few people, if the cardboard is thick enough, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll take
right,
it.
Right, right.
You know, we need places to keep our evidence. We need places to keep our guns and extra ammo. You know, we got to have places to interview people, suspects, children, right? Not just suspects, but victims and witnesses as well. So there's a lot of needs. We have had discussions. I've thrown out the information to the county breaking down. Here's what we have right now. Here's my anticipated growth for the next 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
My perspective on how Grand Forks County could potentially grow. And I'm not planning for tomorrow. I'm planning for the next
three
sheriffs. Because I don't expect it to be for me.
And you don't need a castle. You just want fully functional building that's a little more up to date. Todd asks, what kind of space do you require? Could any available office space in town be sufficient?
You know, a big thing that there's a big remodel right now going on at the police department that I'm sure nobody really knows much about. But something that causes us problems and it's getting worse is our evidence storage and the HVAC, the air handling. You know, we're taking dope off people all the time.
Yeah,
marijuana,
yeah.
fentanyl, right?
M30s,
and a lot of that stuff can be toxic in small levels. But you know, if nobody's ever there's to my knowledge, nobody's smoking weed in our office, right?
No, okay, yeah, it's but not the White House.
If your office is by the evidence room,
mm-hmm.
and we just took in some pretty fresh dope, fresh weed. Sorry
yep.
for the connoisseurs out there. Man, you're getting headaches, and you start feeling like crap.
I bet
in no
skunk
time.
Running around the building.
You got to have proper HVAC, right?
Sure,
you got to have proper security. Is there places that right now we could walk into and say this works? I doubt it.
Yeah.
But anything can be remodeled, and we've seen it done. We actually just did a quick tour of the Old County Correctional Center Monday, I believe. This week's getting blurry, but I believe it was Monday. We did a walkthrough with some, you know, county officials and some other entities, architects, engineers, et cetera, to see what the likelihood would be of reutilizing that space. They're working on a some potential numbers, right? A breakdown, mm-hmm. if it is feasible or not. If I know everybody will be listening Tuesday, or they'll come to the meeting 4 o'clock at the county office building, mm-hmm. sixth floor. But we're supposed to get some sort of ballpark number, okay. of a rehab of that or a potential rebuild. And I think the other thing that's extremely important to realize is that this isn't just the sheriff's office that needs space right now. Am I fine with where we are? I'm content. It works. Yeah,
it works.
Do we need to leave? No. I would rather, like I've told plenty of people, I'd rather plan for 5 to 8, 9, 10 years down the road, start mm-hmm. saving money now.
Yep, yep.
That way you're not going to have the chronic complainers always calling into the radio yep. saying, what are we doing? We can't afford this, right?
Right.
Let's do it right. Let's plan for it.
Mm-hmm.
We're good right now. I mean, we're not, but we're fine.
Right,
we've
right.
adapted to
you're
it,
getting
right?
by. Yep.
Yeah. If most of you probably haven't been up to the state's attorney's office, and if you have, you probably haven't been behind the doors. They actually had to build a wall in the hallway and turn it into like 4 desk spaces.
Jeez.
Because they legitimately have no more space in that. And that's in the courthouse. So, I mean, I'm sure the taxpayers will love to hear this, mm-hmm. right? My opinion is that we should have a law enforcement center, right? Or a justice center that yep. includes the courts, state's attorney,
sure.
us, police department, Ohio Patrol. Let's build one facility where all the criminals can go, or all the people that have parking tickets can go, and they can all be at one place. That way, when they get there and you tell them, nope, you actually need to go across the street to pay that ticket, or you actually need to drive out by the Broken Drum mm-hmm. to turn yourself
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all in the same place, right? No. Is the jail area feasible? Well, should we tear down the bullring?
Well, don't get me going.
Delete that part out of yeah, this, right? Like yeah. that's not an option on no, the table, right?
Right, right, right.
But I think that we should look at moving the courts and everybody into a facility. That courthouse is like 105,
yeah.
115 years old.
Yeah, and now they want to stick a bunch of money into it, fixing the dome and all of that stuff,
and do you
too.
Think, and do you think that the guys that built that courthouse 110, 115 years ago were thinking, where could we put Ethernet cables and fire alarms
in 2024
in these walls in 100 years? Right. You know, thank God they made things to last.
Right.
Outside of the roof.
Yeah. you know, maybe the Fufang land would have been a good place for a big facility like
for
that.
Sale.
Todd also says planning ahead would be a great concept for the county commission. Example being the dome, future space for sheriff's department. Thanks, Todd. We've been talking about that. Paul says the county should open a firing range and take a percentage of the profits and teach gun safety. I know
I'd
that's
that.
Probably not something the county would want to
right.
build, but that would be a great idea around
it
here.
It would be great. You know, and I've talked to a lot of people that
yep.
through teaching concealed weapons on my mm-hmm. off time business, and I've talked to a lot of business owners and people that could afford it, not me, saying, hey, you want to do something for the community, you're building stuff, you got great ideas.
Yeah.
You put a gun range up here, an indoor gun range, and you wouldn't be disappointed.
No, I agree. I agree. And now in Fargo, they've actually got one where it's like a laser. They're real guns,
yeah.
but it's, I don't know how he fits them with a laser type thing, huh. but apparently it's doing well. How does one get a ride around? Is
a ride
that
along?
A thing anymore? Yeah, they said a
yeah.
ride around, but is that a thing anymore? And yeah,
oh,
that's
yeah.
a great question.
Yeah, so we do offer ride-alongs. Typically, what we try to do is make sure that it's, you know, we'll have you fill out a packet. They're mm-hmm. available in our office. You can come up, say, can I get a ride-along packet? Part of that is, why do you want to ride with, right? Well, if it's to see the areas you're patrolling so you don't bust me when I'm breaking into places, we're not going to give you a ride-along.
Right, okay? Right.
But we try to steer towards people that are interested in public safety, specifically the sheriff's office,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes it's people that are, you know, pursuing a political profession
right,
that
right.
could have an effect on a sheriff's office or police department.
So if I asked for a ride-along, would I be lucky enough to get to ride with you?
Well, we'd have to do a background check.
Okay.
You
well,
might,
then I wouldn't, maybe wouldn't pass.
I don't know if you wanted to ride along with me, I'd have to find another five-wheel chair to put next to my desk.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Unless it's storming, obviously.
There we go. Right. You know, you had mentioned dope, weed, things like that earlier. Is the legal recreational marijuana in Minnesota, is that, and I would sure because we're so close with just the river, is that affecting your department now, or do you think it will more if not? But I don't know. I would still, to me, recreational marijuana doesn't mean you drive around in your car with a bag full of weed and smoke it. That, to me, recreational would mean, hey, at the end of your day, when you're home and you're in your own house, you could do what you want to do thing. But is that affecting? Have you seen any of that bleeding over into North Dakota?
Yeah. So recreational marijuana really affects our local marijuana dealers. Right?
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
People will trip to, since Colorado legalized it, people will trip to Colorado.
Wow.
Pick up their weed, come back, smoke it, sell it, whatever.
Yep.
Minnesota's making it more convenient for them.
Sure,
not as far of a drive, but it's not just Colorado, right? Like Washington. Pick a state that legalized it.
Yeah.
It'll come from there.
And there's a big difference, what you just said right there. People will drive, they'll bring it here, sell it, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
Recreational, you're not supposed to be able to do any of that stuff. That's what it is. It's recreational. So there's people abusing that also.
Right.
You know, there are, and you look at the medical studies, there are certain things, remedy, or, you know, people have issues and maybe it helps. But anyway, I know it's tried twice here in North Dakota and it failed both times.
Right.
And I would imagine if they tried again, it probably won't. But when are you in your second term now?
I'm in my second year of my second term.
Okay, so you've got two more years.
Yep.
Okay, long ways away, but
it is.
Your thoughts so far for 2 years from now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still looking to feed my kids.
Yeah.
And right now, I feel like, you know, you look at this weekend, even with me not being there for the two incidents that occurred, I think we're still pushing in the right direction. We got the right leadership in place.
Mm-hmm.
We still, it's funny, like you always hear political candidates like, we're not done. We got more to do.
Right.
It's amazing how long it takes to accomplish some things.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, you can't do it all on your own.
Whether it's some personnel issues or hiring, getting your numbers to where they want to be. You know, I've been asking for more deputies for years, and we have increased our staff by one security officer and a part-time deputy.
Okay.
Which is non-benefited part-time, so that tells you how much they're there. But we still have more goals that we'd like to achieve, right? Like, these transport things are killing us.
Oh, I bet.
We're hauling people. People are taking off, right?
Yeah,
get an Uber out of state, and we got to bring them back.
Sure.
But, you know, working on getting a transport division established so we're not pulling people off the road all the time to travel places. So.
Yeah. Jump in Dobmeier's airplane and go with him.
Yeah.
There you go.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. Todd also says, thank you so much for taking the time to answer questions for the public. You do such a great job being transparent, communicating with the citizens of Grand Forks. Thanks, you and your deputies, for your service. We agree with you 100% there, Todd.
Yeah, no, Todd, I do appreciate that. You know, nothing frustrates me more, even as a law enforcement officer, but as a civilian, when something happens and all you want to know is the details. Now, you're not asking to tour the trailer where the shooting occurred, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you just want to know what went down. And I want to give as much information as possible, as timely as possible,
yep,
so the public has an understanding of why we did, as law enforcement officers, what we needed to do.
Right.
And if you don't put it out, what do people resort to?
You're hiding something.
Or,
yeah. And, and the same with me, being in the media business for over four decades. I know what you can ask, what you can't, because this is still an ongoing thing.
Right.
You know, it could take who knows how long before the investigation is closed and everything would be probably released then. But until then, you can't put that into jeopardy.
Yeah.
You can't jeopardize the investigation by, you know, flapping your lips.
Yeah.
That's not the way it works. And, oh, yes, we'd love the Blizzard Facebook posts. There you go.
You know, people always, I get plenty of people that make fun of me for those.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell them, you know what? Like, look how many people we just kept off the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I decide what hat I'm going to wear, what hoodie I'm going to put on, and go out there and try to breathe through it and just show people, like, hey, it looks like a winter wonderland, nice, beautiful Christmas scene in Grand Forks, but you clear the trees in the interstate or County 6, and it's a different world.
You bet. Stay home. It's your guys that usually got to go have to try to rescue these dumb people
right
after they were being warned, don't go out on the roads. Right. It's not really safe right now.
I mean, you get, you know, 100,000 views on a video like that.
Yeah.
People tagging each other. Mm-hmm. How many people did you keep from coming into the county or trying to leave the county?
Absolutely.
So I think it's effective, and that's why I do it.
Yep. That's nice. I'm so glad you came in today. Is there anything you want to close the show with?
You know what? No, I think, you know, I appreciate you having me in, letting me talk a little freely, loosely, a little bit about things. And, you know, if you feel inclined to do so, if you see an individual wearing a hat that says Vietnam veteran, Korean veteran, they're wearing that for a reason.
Yes.
Make sure that you walk up to that person and you tell them you're thankful for their service.
You know, it's funny because I see a lot of airmen and airwomen here going to the DMV. There was one yesterday. It was a lady, and you could tell she was in fatigues or whatever. And I yelled across the lobby, ma'am, thank you.
Right.
And they kind of look at you shocked and go,
yeah,
you're welcome. But right, that is absolutely correct. If I find out you're a veteran, the first thing I do is thank you. And same with you guys. Keep up the good work, Sheriff. We got to get together one of these times in a boat or with the 223s or the 17s or something.
Take my kids catfishing. That'd be great.
Let's do it this summer.
All right.
We'll line it up. All right. There you go. Grand Forks County Sheriff for sure. Andy Schneider. Wow. Our show today brought to you by Redemption Shield.
Have you noticed the ever-alarming 400,000 cell towers that have gone up in the United States alone? How about the electronics that reside in every room of our homes and Wi-Fi that runs 24/7? 5G cell phones are carried in our pockets hours on end. Common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, palpitations, headaches, memory loss, and so much more. Redemption Shield is on the cutting edge of offering products that protect your family from electromagnetic and microwave radiation. Start protecting yourself now. Go to redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded today. Use code GFBS and save 10%.
Well, there you heard them. Just go to gfsource.com at the bottom of the homepage and click the shield to order today. Again, thank you to Grand Forks County Sheriff Andy Schneider for joining us today. Mixed Culture is on at 1 o'clock this afternoon. They're already out there waiting to come in, all right? Dirty Thursday tomorrow, brought to you by River City Speedway. We talk with driver Victoria Stutsky. Can't wait. I don't think I've met her before. By the way, Stephen Lewis is going to be our guest host. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, everybody, remember to tune in. Remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. If you hit that notification bell on your smartphone, it dings every time we go on the air. You won't miss a good show like we had today, all right? Hey, we know the Grand Cities are grand. Grand Forks Best Source is giving them an identity again.